If I appear a little nervous up here, don't believe it. I was reminded this morning as I attempted to prepare myself for this afternoon that for many years, a brother and myself went fishing. Something I believe that Brother Bill said about rather being someplace else than here. I believe it was him. But for many years we fished whenever the opportunity presented itself. And we thought that we enjoyed that. But we seemed like we would rather do that than most any other thing. And this morning I was reminded that still today we fish. Only this time we fish in a different manner, for we have both been called as servants of the Lord, and we fish with a different bait. But if someone had told me 6 years ago that someday I would stand and be a preacher of the Lord, I would have laughed and said, "No, you're wrong. Not I. I'm the man that sits in the back row and listens," whenever I found myself in church to listen. But 5.5 years ago, someone did tell me that someday I would be a preacher. And I did not laugh. I just accepted that news with tears in my eyes and the sure knowledge that I had just been shown in vision that I would indeed be an elder in the Church of Christ. I didn't seem to know in that vision who it was that called me to that office, but I was told that doesn't it seem natural and right that the man that ordained your father would also call you into the priesthood? And I'll have to confess that didn't help me very much because I did not know who had ordained my father, because I hadn't been very attentive in church. But I kept this vision to myself for a long, long time, I suppose to test its truth. And then a couple of years later, I'm not sure exactly how long it was, I received a letter one Saturday morning from Brother Eugene Gould, in which he told me of being awakened by the voice of the Lord at 3 o'clock in the morning on the 26th of June, 1986, giving him instructions to call me to the office of elder. Many of you witnessed that ordination at this Missouri reunion 3 years ago. And that was the fruition of that vision that I had had 5.5 years ago. Now I would like to tell you something that happened to me on the Friday night before I got that letter. I spent the entire night neither asleep nor awake, but I suppose somewhere in between. And in that state of consciousness, I preached 2 sermons and performed a baptism service. And I felt normal and natural, as if it was something that I was used to doing. And the next Saturday, I received that letter from Brother Gould. And then I knew that the Friday night had been a witness to me of the truth of that vision and the truth of the letter that I had received. And after I was ordained, I chose to preach for my first sermon, one of those sermons that I preached on that Friday night. And I might just say it only lasted for about 10 minutes, so maybe you're in luck today. But I chose to preach that sermon because I felt that that sermon had been given to me by the Holy Spirit. And today I have chosen to preach that other sermon that I have carried in my case for 3 years. And I choose to preach that sermon this day for the same reason. I have chosen to preach this other sermon because it was to a large group that I preached that night. And it was a large group such as this. And I believe we are that group. As I stand before you today and look out over this congregation, I am aware that a very large number of the men that sit in this congregation are members of the priesthood and have way more knowledge and experience than I. And I am humbled to be allowed to preach to you this day. But I am aware of something else of even greater significance than that. And that is that we were all called into this priesthood in a similar manner, in a manner of which I have described to you this day. We were all called, as was Aaron the Levite, through prophecy or revelation by the voice of God. We were all called by revelation in these latter days. I know that I was, and I pray that you were. For if we cannot lay claim to that kind of a calling, we must step down, for we have no authority. I believe God has spoken to us in these latter days. And again, I was reminded this morning when Brother Bill spoke of how nervous I would be as I stood before you this day, maybe making a comparison between one of the oldest preachers in the Church of Christ and one of the youngest as far as experience. And I was given courage as I heard him speak, because I knew the Spirit of the Lord was with him. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord directed me at that time to have courage and to stand and to speak this sermon that was given. And I do believe God has spoken to us in these latter days in the same way he spoke in former days. I believe God continues to speak to us through revelation, through the voice of dreams, the voice of prophecy, and manifestation. The same way that he spoke to Adam and Enoch and the brother of Jared and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Lehi and Nephi and Isaiah. All the prophets, both great and small, in this country and in that country. I believe he spoke to Joseph Smith, as our brother mentioned this morning in his sermon. I believe he spoke to Brother Joseph and told him how to restore this Church of Christ in these latter days. I believe God spoke to Joseph about the Book of Mormon, and about the priesthood, and about the doctrine, and about belief and repentance and baptism and the laying out of hands and the resurrection and eternal judgment. I believe he spoke to Joseph and to others as he saw fit, and as he thought necessary from time to time, and as they needed guidance in the task of restoring this church and restoring this priesthood and restoring this gospel in all its fullness. I believe he spoke about the many plain and precious things that have been kept back and lost from that Bible that came down to us through the ages, through that great and abominable church. I believe he spoke of these things as well as others. And I believe the saints of that day wrote them down. And we stand chastised this day, my brethren, when we reject the fullness of the Word of God. Let us turn to the Book of Mormon on page 156. I would like to read verse 45 and 53 and 56. And because my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible, and there cannot be any more Bible. Thou fool that shall say, a Bible, we have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men? And that I remember those who are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. Of course, we all recognize that scripture, and we know that it is talking about the Book of Mormon that was to come forth. And we know that the Book of Mormon was brought forth, regardless of what those fools in chapter 53 had to say. But did you ever wonder if the principle expounded here could go beyond our first understanding and include other works that would be brought forth? In fact, that should be brought forth. Let us consider verse 57. And I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, upon all the nations of the earth. You see, there are more nations than Judah and Manasseh. And the word all, as used here, would include at the very least the other 10 nations of Israel. And let us never forget that Ephraim received a greater blessing than Manasseh. In verse 58, let us read, wherefore murmur ye, because that ye shall receive more of my word? Let us ask ourselves that question. Why do we murmur? Because we receive more of God's word. Verse 60 has this to say, wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. Verse 62, and I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. Verse 63 is spoken to the fools also. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. And I might add, and another, and another, and another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man. Neither from that time forth, henceforth, forever and ever. That's a pretty good definition of eternity. We must not reject God's word. We cannot reject God's word and get away with it. We must accept God's words wherever we find them written down. We know it is written that we should rightly divide the word of truth. And so with that statement in mind, we begin to divide. We divide out this word and that word, and this statement and that statement, this paragraph and that paragraph, this book and that book. And we take pride in our wisdom. But, oh, my brethren, have we misunderstood? For when it says rightly divide, the emphasis is on rightly. And divide does not mean to pick out and throw away, but it means to consider and understand. So that statement in today's language should be read that we should rightly understand the word of truth. And my brethren, how shall we understand if we have thrown that word away? Let me just read what Jesus has to say in his word in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 47. And 48. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Those are words of Christ. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same word shall judge him in the last day. You see, Jesus will not judge us if we reject him. But his word, the very word that we reject, will judge us. Now, it may be that some may think if we throw away that word, we cannot be judged by it. But do not be deceived, my brothers and sisters. According to verse 48, we will be judged by the word, even if we throw it away. In fact, because we have thrown it away. Let us read verse 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. We all recognize that as Christ speaking. And now I'd like to read some more words of Christ. It's found on page 712 in the Book of Mormon, verse 84 through 91. But behold, I say unto you that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted unto him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. And that includes us, my brothers and sisters. Even unto the ends of the earth. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples who should tarry, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And whosoever shall believeth on my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of earth. And that's us again. God will confirm his words unto us if we believe. doubting nothing. And now behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? Who can deny his sayings? Who will rise up against the almighty power of the Lord? Who will despise the works of the Lord? Who will despise the children of Christ? Behold, all ye who are despisers of the works, and I believe that means words also, all ye who are despisers of the works of the Lord, ye shall wonder and perish. You see how that agrees with John chapter 12, verse 48? Those who are despisers of the works and the words of the Lord shall wander and perish. Let's turn to Jacob chapter 3. It's on page 176. I thought Brother Sheldon was going to use this reference this morning, but he was just right next door to it. Verses 9 through 11. Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of him. And it is impossible that man should find out all his ways. And now listen to this next verse. And no man knoweth his ways, save it be revealed unto him. It is impossible to find out all his ways, except it be revealed unto us. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of his word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of his word. I'd like to go back to that page 712 and complete that reading. Verse 92 through 94. O then despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord. And ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing. And begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it upon your lust, but ask with a firmness unshaken, that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. Now in closing, I would like to read some more of the words of God, some more of the words of that truth that we talked about, some of the truth that we should rightly understand, some more of the Word of God, so that we can rightly understand. I want to read chapter 1 of the Book of Commandments. And I would like you to know that this was written November the 1st, 1831, about 2 months after chapter 65, about 2 months after the last chapter in the book. And we find it written and we find it placed in the front of the book and called chapter 1 because of what it says in verse 2. And I quote, "My preface unto the book of my commandments." And that was the Lord speaking. And so keep this clearly in mind as we study this revelation. And remember that this revelation was given after all the other revelations in this book. For the sake of clarity and brevity, I'm going to ask you not to follow me in your books, because I'm not going to read straight through. I'm going to skip some verses, but I'm going to read what I think are the highlights for the purpose of this sermon. I will be glad to show to anybody who is interested exactly what verses and phrases I have read. Hearken, O ye people of my church, saith the voice of him who dwells on high, and whose eyes are upon all men. Yea, verily I say, hearken, ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the islands of the sea, listen together. For verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men, and there is none to escape, and no eye that shall not see, neither ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated. And the rebellious, and that's those who won't hearken. The rebellious shall be pierced with much sorrow, for their iniquities shall be spoken upon the housetops, and their secret acts shall be revealed, and the voice of warning shall be unto all people by the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days. And they shall go forth, and none shall stay them, for I, the Lord, have commanded them. Behold, this is mine authority, and the authority of my servants, and my preface unto the book of my commandments, which I have given them, his servants, his church, to publish unto you, O inhabitants of the earth. Wherefore fear and tremble, for what I, the Lord, have decreed in them, these commandments, shall be fulfilled. Wherefore the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, that all that will hear may hear. And the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken my everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way, after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world. Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph, and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world, and all this, that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophets. And I might just add, from the beginning of time, that mine everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple, unto the ends of the world. Behold, I am God, and have spoken it. These commandments are of me, and were given unto my servants in their weakness, after the manner of their language, that they might come to understanding. And also those to whom these commandments were given might have power to lay the foundation of this church, and to bring it out of obscurity and out of darkness, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased. And again, verily I say unto you, O inhabitants of the earth, for I, the Lord, am willing to make these things known unto you, unto all flesh, for I am no respecter of persons, and willeth that all men shall know that the day speedily cometh. Search these commandments, For they are true and faithful, and the prophecies and promises which are in them shall all be fulfilled. For behold, and lo, the Lord is God, and the Spirit beareth record, and the record, that's the word, is true, and the truth abideth forever and ever. Be not deceived, my brethren, for God is not mocked. And he will rise up in judgment against the sinful nature of mankind. And his word declares it so. Rather we accept that word, or rather we throw it away. It is our choice. But remember, we will be judged by our choice. And we stand chastised, my brethren, if we reject the fullness of the Word of God. Thank you for your kind attention. May God add his blessings.
Thank you, Brother Gale. I truly believe that in both services this morning and this evening, we have been fed by the Word of God. Let us use hymn number 18 in closing. Come to the close of this service, we do wish to raise our voice in thanksgiving unto thee for the message that thou hast sent unto us. And to our Father, we do humbly pray that each one of us will open our hearts and our minds and our souls and let that word sink in, that it might direct us in the ways of righteousness and in the ways of truth. That we indeed might be children of thine and turn unto thee with full purpose of heart to serve thee with heart, mind, might, and strength, and to labor diligently for the building up of thy Zion and of thy holy temple, and that we might thus prepare ourselves for the coming of thy Son. O Father, take us into thy nearness. Do not let thy heritage be run over by the heathen or by hypocrites, but turn us unto thee. We humbly pray in the name of Christ. Amen.